With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. The following interview contains topics that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. If you would like to contact us in regards to any of our content, please email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Welcome back to Counterculture here on Reality Check Radio with Marie. Joining me now is Bob, and I got hold of Bob through Denise Ritchie, and you may well remember the wonderful Denise Ritchie I spoke to last year from Stop Demand. Now, Bob is the father of one of the victims from the Mama Hooch case. This was one of the biggest news stories of 2023, and like so many of the news stories that we saw in legacy media in this country last year, they only but scratched the surface. So we thought we would talk to somebody a little bit closer to the case and find out a little bit more about what truly went on in regards to the Jazz Brothers conviction and those victims in Mama Hooch in Christchurch. So Bob, good morning, and thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity to voice my opinion of the justice system and how this case eventually got to court.
So give, for the listeners that, and again, you know, as I said to you before we got started, you know, I only have a very broad view of this, but for our listeners, what is the case? Where are things at the moment in regards to the convictions? But what is the events that led to getting this to court?
Okay, so yeah, for those that don't know, the Mama Hooch case was involved the Jazz Brothers, who were sexual predators on young women. They were bar owners in Christchurch. They would prey on vulnerable women and basically drug them and then sexually abuse them in the toilets or at their other restaurant, which was called Ventuti. So this all started back in 2017. So it took, one of my sort of frustrations was that it took 5 years to actually get to court, which is appalling considering that there were over 30 victims that had all been brave enough to come forward and go, oh my God, I think I was assaulted by these guys. And yet our great justice system dragged their feet for 5 years, which I think is unacceptable. And talking to everyone, including Crown prosecutors and that, everyone agreed that this is unacceptable, that this sort of case, or any case, takes this long to get some justice. And I feel that there has been some justice, but the whole process to get there was terrible. From basically right from the outset, these guys had name suppression. So to give you a brief introduction, they drugged and sexually assaulted a couple of young women who were brave enough to go, oh my God, let's go to the cops. So before that, there'd been 30 plus, most probably, they're the ones that came forward, victims that had been assaulted. One woman had gone to the cops a few years before, and the cops did nothing.
Is a pattern, a long-standing pattern of behaviour from these men?
Yes, they are very entitled. They came from Australia, they originally from Europe, so they're not even citizens here, and yet they've been able to use our justice system. So they come from a very rich family. They ran a couple of restaurants. They, when they got caught, they got caught with drugs. They got caught with hundreds of vile videos that, because they were so arrogant that they videoed each other doing all sorts of heinous things to these young women and shared it amongst a group. So it's not only the Jazz Brothers, they were the only ones convicted. However, there was a larger group that were also under the spotlight. They all managed to avoid conviction and have permanent name suppression. Some of them are out, supposedly, you know, members of society, you know, real estate agents and such. And they managed to only get enough evidence for these two guys, which was frustrating in itself. The cops caught them. They took them quite a wee while to charge them, and as one of the fathers of the victim, we were sort of given a little bit of information that some of the police working on it were very good and voiced their opinion on these guys and what should happen to them. But like it's all, we just had to believe in the system and let it do its thing. So they got arrested, and because they come from a wealthy family, and they had no prior convictions, they had name suppression, which potentially is fine until, well, they had name, this is one of the things, they had name suppression until they went to court. 5 years, they were able to carry on with their lives.
And carry on probably doing what they were charged with doing.
Exactly, they did. They did. They even, one of them even hit up one of the policewomen that had come to interview them about it. Tried to chat them up. So they had, I don't know what they think they're on, but completely so arrogant that they thought they could get away with it.
Because I'm trying to get all these pieces in my head now, because you've completely, you see, you've blown my wee mind here. So you've got these guys that are, as you said, predators. That was a good name for them. They have this pattern of behavior. You finally get two victims that come forward. And police start investigation. They find out in this investigation, not only are they drugging women and performing sexual acts on them without consent, but they're videoing what they're doing. They're sharing those videos, again, without consent, I'm assuming, of those participants, to a little coterie of their friends. To a little coterie of their friends, which in itself is illegal, and the Department of Internal Affairs, I know, looks after all the prosecutions in terms of pornography and the like. Then the police, you've got this process that gets started. So they go in, they finally go up for charges, they get themselves name suppression, and obviously I'm assuming bail, because there's no... In terms of investigation, what then happens? Because I do know that the justice system and the investigative system are two quite separate beasts, and both of them don't always work in simpatico with each other. So from your perspective, you finally get to this point. These guys are now have got their name suppression. They can go back out and do what they can on bail.
Yep.
To continue to offend.
Pretty much, yeah. They both were able to work at the bar. One of them was still the manager of Mama Hooch while this was happening. And during that, so... and because they had name suppression, no one knew this. So young women were still going to that bar. The police did set up a kind of, not a sting operation, but an information gathering operation where they stood outside the bar handing out flyers going, hey, do you know anything about this? Do you know any victims? However, none of them were able to say that it was the bar owners that were the ones that had been arrested in regards to that. And in one of the media releases, Danny Jazz, the main offender, actually said, if I find out who has been doing this in my bar, I'll break their hands. And he was quoted on the media. So ideally, he'll get his brother or someone to, you know, like, this is how arrogant they were, that they were taking the piss, basically. Wow. So they were able to carry on working at this bar. And one of my gripes is with the Christchurch City Council Liquor Licensing Authority, who were aware that this was happening. They had been given the evidence. I was forever chewing their ear off. I called the mayor at the time, Leanne Dalzell, saying, how is this possible that you have given these guys a liquor license? Or the fact was that their liquor license had run out. They were in the process of applying for a new one, and yet the council went, oh, look, until they're found guilty, they can carry on as they are. Even though there was strong evidence that these guys were guilty, the city council let this carry on. And I think that's appalling, and that head should roll for that, because the way that, that they let this carry on, fully knowing that every rule of the having a liquor license is to look after your patrons, not let them get drunk, etc., etc., while the city council shrugged their shoulders and went, hey, there's nothing we can do until it goes to court. So for 5 years, these guys carried on pretty much doing what they were.
But I would have thought that even as you were waiting for it to go to court, you could actually have victims or people complain that they felt that they were unsafe, or there were unsafe practices going on, which was in the breach of a liquor license.
Yeah.
That then could have them in that breach, and you could actually go them that way. The council, I mean, is there an element of money, power, and influence from these brothers in regards to that?
Hard to know, but I think it's a classic bureaucracy of a city council just going, well, until this is, even though there was the strong evidence and that the mayor said, I think that's disgusting, this should be, you know, looked into, nothing really happened. Mm. And in fact, the word had got out that these guys were scumbags, and someone went into the bar and went, oh, raped anyone recently, and got headbutted by Danny Jazz. And yet the city council couldn't do anything about that. Like, being assaulted by a bar owner or manager, you would think that would be enough for them to go, okay, you're getting your license taken off you. But this guy, he was going to press charges, but the justice system said, no, look, that's just going to complicate things, let's leave it. So he got headbutted, broke his nose, and Danny Jazz got away with that. And the council just let them carry on. So this went on for months, and I was involved in trying to, like, when a liquor license comes up for renewal, you have the opportunity to object it. So I objected it and asked that I be given all of the information and copied in on correspondence about when the hearing was and that sort of thing. The council went, oh, look, you know, it's been delayed because Michael Jazz, the father of these two guys, so Michael Jazz is dodgy as well. He enabled his kids to do this. So he's complicit in that as well. And he played every card in the book, saying he was too ill to be able to go to the hearing. So kept on getting bumped. And then the next thing I heard, I called up the council to say, hey, what's the story with this? And they went, oh, they've sold the bar now, so it's irrelevant. And yet they sold it to a Singaporean company who employed Danny Jazz as the manager still. So it was like, it was just a shuffling of ownership that the council were like, oh, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, there's a lot of
willful blindness by the sound of it.
Yeah, the system has, well, the system does not work. They make it look as though it does, but the amount of injustice that carried on. So to carry on, so the council did nothing about it, and these guys employed the best defence lawyers in the city. They spent, I think, $1 million on their fees. And I don't know what sort of defence lawyers would want to defend these guys, but when their money ran out, the defence lawyers went, that's it, we're out of here, not defending you anymore. So that held up the case even more. While more defence lawyers were found, they used public money. They had, what do you call it?
Public defenders.
Public defenders. So once they'd used up all their money, instead of selling their houses, selling their restaurants, that to pay for it, they used the public purse to defend the indefensible. But that dragged, that whole process dragged out, because the new defence lawyers went, oh, look, we're really busy. We can't get to this case for another year. So this is how their 5 years stretched out. It should have been all over in a year, if not less. And yet, it could be one reason. Well, it definitely doesn't encourage women to come forward and go, hey, this guy's dodgy, do something about it, because nothing gets done. So all of these women were walking around, you know, had put in complaints about these guys, knowing that these guys, well, hoping that these guys would be put away, then realizing that they were out and about, walking the streets as though you should have seen them. They are cocky. Their swagger, they are really quite arrogant. So these women had to live in the same city as these two guys, with the potential of them being bumping into them and, you know, bringing back all that trauma, and just seeing that the system had let these guys out. And the absolutely disgusting thing is that these guys used the public purse, and yet no money was available for the victims to get time off work, to get counselling, all of this thing, to get compensation. These scumbags used hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, of the taxpayers' money to defend the indefensible, and yet all of the victims that were brave enough to come forward got nothing. And that makes me sick.
Mm. So is there any way of, in terms of justice review, I mean, are there any avenues? Because, I mean, this is something that I've certainly heard of before in terms of the time that it takes to do anything, the suppression orders. I mean, you know, I've just spoken recently to Judith Hobson, who has, you know, the suppression order against a young man with a discharge without conviction that assaulted her on camera. And even the time, I mean, that was relatively quick, but that was only because he pleaded guilty.
Yeah. So this is the thing with, I don't know whether the innocent until proven guilty. Well, it's like, well, if you're to prove someone guilty and there's pretty good evidence, it shouldn't take 5 years to actually prove them guilty. The courts and the justice system, everyone came up with a thousand excuses about, oh, COVID slowed things down. Oh, look, it's a long process. There's paperwork. And basically it's a whole heap of barristers and solicitors shuffling bits of paper around, getting paid a small fortune and dragging their heels. And the defense lawyer, the Crown prosecutor, was appalled. And, you know, I sort of had a good conversation with him, and he went, I know, I'm very sorry, but this is how it goes. And this is the excuse that the justice system used. That's just how it is. It's like, well, nothing's ever going to change if that's the attitude you have. How come there aren't MPs, and I want the National Party and ACT, that leader of the ACT party, old Dave Seymour, he's strong on crime. He should be, I think you need to interview him to see what his opinion is, because it shouldn't be allowed that this sort of thing happens. I have not heard any word from any politician to say, oh, yes, things need to change.
Have you thought about petitioning Judith Collins? I mean, she is now the Attorney General.
I haven't.
She'd be a good one to get in a flea in the ear, I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm talking to you. I'm like a dog with a bone in that, yeah, I want some answers and, you know, things to change, because it's been like this for a long time and everyone just shrugs their shoulders like, oh, it's so bureaucratic. Yep, no, this is just the way it is. And it's like, well, you know, nothing is going to, and, you know, especially for victims, they're going to look at this case and go, why the hell did those women even bother? Because, and I imagine there was a lot more that didn't come forward that went, my God, I'm glad I didn't, because look at the strife that these women got. They all had to get up in front of these guys and testify. And the defense lawyers were horrible. One of the women, you know, was a classic, oh, come on, you were drunk. You let them do this, you know, the classic old, well, if you wear a short skirt, you know, what are you?
You were asking for it, yeah.
Pretty much. The judge sort of went, oi, enough of that. But once they've said it, it's, you know, it could be withdrawn, but it's like the maliciousness of the defense lawyers to try to make these guys, they should have just gone, you're dodgy, you're going away forever. The judge did give them the strongest sentence he could, but he also said, I wish I could give them more, because this isn't the thing. And I was actually thrown out of court for saying deport them, because they aren't citizens. The government and the justice system could have gone, you're not fit to be New Zealanders, you're going to Australia where you're going to serve your time.
It's not very much of a barn door, is it? I mean, the Australians are very keen to send their 501s to New Zealand. It would be nice to throw the odd one back at them from time to time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they've got 16 and a half and 17 years, and I see that they've appealed. So what's the story with that?
This is how arrogant they are. I don't know whether what sort of condition, whether it's psychopathic or whatever, that they just think that they can get away with it. and this is another gripe I have. I have many of them with the corrections, because I spoke to the Crown Prosecutor and he was sort of going, oh, well, they'll be going away. And they said, oh, they'll most probably be going to Rolleston or Paparoa, where they'll be together to help their rehabilitation. There's no rehabilitating these guys. They need to be just left in prison, ideally not ours, or get the Aussies to pay or something. Ideally, I would like to see one in Invercargill, one in the North Island, where they don't have the support of each other, because they don't deserve to have support. They don't. Most of their family have abandoned them. One of the women who was married to Danny Jazz has left them. The father has fled to Australia, saying he doesn't want anything to do with them anymore, leaving the poor mother here to pick up the pieces and potentially visit her dodgy sons. But if you're going to put someone away, you've got to make it hard for them. They're most probably in the soft cells with all of the white-collar criminals, whereas they should really be given a hard time. And I do believe that one of them has been bashed over. So there is some small justice in that. Corrections, by saying that they need to be rehabilitated and given all of the chances that they can, is beyond a joke. It's like, you know, they could have said, okay, we've been caught and, yep, we're guilty. Whereas they have fought this all the way, knowing that the evidence is there to show that they're guilty, but they've just played the system.
I think it's also very evident of psychopathic behaviour to be quite, or antisocial behaviour, which I think both of them displayed in order to be the predators that they are. So, you know, you need to be human to actually display those things, Bob. And I don't think these two really are, to be brutally honest. They have no qualms about what they were doing, and they probably in their minds didn't believe they were doing anything wrong. So, you know, it is really difficult, because ultimately that's the thing. The justice system is supposed to be there to provide justice for the victims, but it very rarely does. And the process in itself is generally more harrowing for the victim than it is for the perpetrators. So it is just, the entire thing is difficult. But, you know, Judith Collins, if you are listening, you know, you are a lawyer, you understand the process. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to get your thoughts on this, and what people, you know, like Bob, who are the families of these victims, some of the things that they can do, what potentially the coalition government would like to do, or some of the goals that you have in terms of reforming the judiciary, if there are any. Give us a yell. 2057 is the text, or inbox at realitycheck.radio. Get your press team to give us a holler. We'd dearly love to talk to you. Hey, yes. Bob, stay on the crusade.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for reaching out. We do appreciate it. This has been Bob, one of the fathers of the Mama Hooch victims from the Jazz Brothers down there in Christchurch. And thank you very much for spending your time with us this morning.
Thanks for the opportunity to let people be a little bit enlightened.
No, I appreciated it, Bob. There, cheers.
Thank you.
Now, if you're still listening at this point, I really do want to thank you for hanging in there with me today. It's been such a powerful show with so many themes that so many of you may have found tough. If anything that you've heard this morning has you wanting to seek further assistance, please do contact us. Again, 2057 is the text, and inbox at realitycheck.radio is the email. And we will point you in the right direction to local services who specialise in sexual assault counselling.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.